The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
In the Tudor Revival bunker from the heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
You're Derek the Eighth?
Yes.
I'm Sharon the First.
But we drive a four-door, not a two-door. So, welcome. PID Radio. We're here already. No, really. We are. October 14th of 2010. And welcome. Thanks for inviting us inside your MP3 player, your radio, or perhaps even your television set. If you've got your your Roku set up with MediaFly correctly. We'll have to post instructions on that someday.
You also want Twit.
On the MediaFly?
No. On Roku, you want to sign up for the Twit channel.
Oh, This Week in Tech, right.
Yes. No, a bunch of twits.
The Monty Python
although one
twits,
may
yes.
say that they are twits anyway.
I gotcha. Well, as always, you know, lots of things. The world never fails to, present us with plenty of stuff to talk about. Or maybe it's just us. Maybe we just like to gab. But again, thank you for bringing us into your homes, into your home.
Or into your cars. Or
Yeah. Something I've been remiss in doing. And I should have done this a week ago. I spoke with Stacey Harp of Active Christian Media last week, Thursday, in fact, and thought, and it was a misunderstanding on my part, that she was recording the interview for her program, to one of her programs to air this week or for posting this week. And in fact, it was on the web last Thursday night. So
no.
Yeah, it's... Of course, it's guaranteed freshness, so it's not past its born-on date yet, I suppose, or at least expired. But Last Thursday night. I mean, she had
it up. Would have been 10-7?
Yeah.
Times 11?
Nobody knows what that means.
Nobody knows.
But that's online at oneplace.com. I'll post the link in the show notes at pidradio.com. Stacey has been podcasting almost as long as we have at PID Radio, and she started out just... essentially focusing on marketing Christian books, a website called blogforbooks.com.
I remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we sent her review copies of our novels. And when she contacted me for the interview, you know, now this is like almost 4 or 5 years down the road after that initial contact, and we've exchanged a few emails back and forth in the meanwhile. She's been very politically oriented and writes a lot about politics and so forth. But she admitted when she called me a couple of weeks ago to ask if I'd be willing to go on her program, that she quite honestly thought that you and I were nuts for a long time. But recently has begun to conclude that we might be on to something. God love her. I mean, she's exploring the world with open eyes and an open mind and trying to fit the evidence into a biblical paradigm.
Good for her.
And thanks to the work of smarter people than us, like Mike Heiser and Guy Malone and Tom Horn.
Mm-hmm. The incredible guests we have had the pleasure to speak with over the years.
That's right. She has begun to discern that maybe there's a more literal interpretation of Ephesians 6:12 than most of us hear in church on Sunday morning.
What?
Yeah.
Take the Bible literally?
You mean those powers and principalities don't refer to human actors? No.
Well.
Paul meant literal.
You know, that really opens your eyes when you come to that conclusion that, hold on there, Babalooey. This stuff's real.
Exactly.
And the Lord actually meant this literally.
Exactly.
Now, sometimes there is there are metaphorical passages in the Bible, but they're pretty clear.
Right.
That it's a story or a metaphor.
Mm-hmm. But when Paul is talking powers and principalities, the words that he uses refer to evil intelligences that operate just beyond the range of human senses most of the time.
Thrones and dominions as well.
Yes. So anyway, I'll post a link to that interview with Stacey Harp. She was kind enough to let me blather for about an hour on her program.
And, do you know something?
What? Yes? What?
There's a pyramid on my microphone.
A pyramid on the microphone?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't even noticed that.
Yep.
Well, the interesting thing, though, is where the eye would be in a Masonic symbol, this one has an ear.
I know.
that happens to be the symbol, the logo of the company that makes the mixer and the microphones that we use. So,
oh, how funny.
We didn't know. Well, interesting things happen around. So there's a story that we wanted to talk about yesterday that we kind of lost track of time. I think I blathered on about something a little too long. But we had a very disturbing story from Chandler, Arizona a couple days ago about the beheading, the decapitation incident.
And it's not the first story like that.
Right. Chandler police had an incident that took place actually...
about a week prior to that, wasn't it? A week or two?
Well, the story came out on the 10th, which would have been last week.
But I think the story, actually, the event had been
prior
to that.
Yeah, it was last week, where a 25-year-old man was stabbed by the two people he was rooming with, a male and a female, because he didn't want them to suck his blood. The couple that he was rooming with in Chandler are professing vampires. And they had engaged in this behavior with this gentleman once before.
Or at least that's what they say.
They claim, yeah. Well, actually, the victim said that he had allowed them to suck his blood on previous occasions, plural, but apparently wasn't interested. Maybe wasn't feeling, you know, like he had enough to contribute or something.
Well, yeah, honestly, he had the right to say no at any time.
Yeah, well, they didn't take no for an answer, and so they stabbed him. And police were called to the scene after... Well, after firefighters who were in the complex on an unrelated call saw a bloody man staggering out of the apartment. So what's going on in Chandler, Arizona?
The man who was beheaded was also, he had roommates. I mean, it was his roommates who did him in.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the theory so far. And I think that the police are looking for some, they've got APBs out on... Hispanic-looking gentleman, if I don't have the story in front of me, so forgive me if I've misspoken, but this gentleman who lost his head literally had been rooming for $100 a month, I think, essentially buying a bed. So maybe the gentleman who had roommates was essentially doing the same thing. You know, if you've got a migrant workers or even illegals, you know, they may be treated pretty badly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's something to talk with Joe, not thinking of the last name, our good Ortiz.
Joe Ortiz?
Yeah. Get his opinion on whether or not folks who are here illegally or even legally, if they are more likely to be victimized.
Well, that's a good question. There was a gentleman who was arrested, according to news in Arizona earlier this week. A 36-year-old man was arrested in Chandler in the case of the man who was decapitated there.
My sister just came in. I heard her calling downstairs. She's wondering where we are.
Yeah.
Let's hide.
Yeah. Kind of hard to do with the headphones on and the, you know, cables sort of tethering us in place
here.
Yeah,
I know.
But
Hold on. I'll go let her know where we are. You continue
talking. The gentleman who was arrested is himself an undocumented immigrant. That's the way the story puts it. Illegal alien, if you prefer the term. Lived across the way from the murder scene, the decapitation scene. And he rented a bed for $100 a month, along with five other day laborers. And he'd been there for about 3 months. So, again, just a bizarre story that resulted in one of the four other men who shared this room where they basically rented a bed for a month, $100 a month. One of the other five men in the room was left decapitated and in a pool of blood. The three remaining visitors fled, and the man who was arrested, tan shoes covered in blood, apparently walked a few steps to his apartment and fell asleep in his bed. And police, when they found him, just, you know, found him still wearing bloody clothing. So he didn't try very hard to get away. So anyway, you've got witnesses who report seeing candles burning in the apartment and a Ouija board and empty cases of beer. So alcohol involved, perhaps a Ouija board, and you know, who knows what sort of spirit contributed to the story. So anyway, one arrest, and apparently others still being sought in that thing, that decapitation murder in Chandler. And then again, you've got this vampire incident that took place earlier in the week in this town. Now, Chandler is a suburb, essentially, of Phoenix. In an odd twist, it's right next door to Gilbert, Arizona. Which, yes.
Won't be held responsible for that.
So, anyway, an odd story, especially, again, when you have two that clearly have a spiritual component happening in such close proximity.
Well, you know, speaking of spiritual matters, another thing that we have talked about yesterday and frankly been talking about for weeks off and on are the miners down in Chile. And I got a message. I don't know if you were copied on it or not. Over at Facebook, a gentleman who's asking, excuse me, my voice is kind of cloudy tonight. He was asking if we would explore the spiritual aspect or the implications to these miners essentially coming up out of the ground as if they had been reborn. And, and the fact that 70 days had gone by, well, 70 days has a very important, it's very important to Eastern, especially Egyptian, mysticism, this notion of being reborn at the end of 70 days. They took 70 days of mourning and preparation of the mummies. Remember in the Bible, even Joseph had to go through that 70 days himself because they mummified him. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So these gentlemen, after 70 days, came up from underground that was 700 meters under the ground and essentially came to light again as if they'd been reborn. 33 miners coming up on 10/13.
It's
almost like the spiritual realm is saying, "Ha, huh,
yeah, just buzz. A little, yeah, just another little message from the other side." The number of 70 appears in the Bible a number of times. Of course, the 70 weeks of Daniel, according to the Book of Isaiah, 70 years is the duration of days of a king.
How many times do you forgive someone?
70 times 7.
That's not 70. a literal 490 times. 491,
right.
Sorry, get out.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a number, according to the Bible, number representing universality.
I personally think it goes deeper than that. That's another show.
Right.
But 70 fallen angels who were given, or at least 70 entities who were given realm governance over the earth.
According to Deuteronomy 32, Mike Heiser says the correct interpretation is when God divided the nations, established the boundaries of the nations.
The table of nations.
Yeah, he did so according to the number of the sons of God.
Right.
And the table of nations has 70, right. When Jacob entered Israel during the time, or it entered Egypt, rather, during the time of Joseph, there were 70 with him. 70 Hebrews, anyway, 70 descendants. So
70 is a very important number, and the fact that it was 70 days, and again, 70 times 10, 700 meters below the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So many aspects to it, and it's almost a foreshadowing of, this was a wonderful event, and the opposite end of that is when the abyss is opened up and the things that come out of that, that's not a wonderful event.
No. But yeah, kind of an interesting and of course there were 33, which is a number of significance to Freemasons and of course coming out on 10/13/10, which also adds up to 33.
Yes.
So some interesting numerological significance there. If you're into that sort of thing, and we want to make clear that we watch this because we know the occult realm watches this.
Exactly. And because the enemy is trying to tell us things, sort of a nudge, wink, wink kind of thing. But other things going on in the world?
Well, speaking of numbers, the number of homes foreclosed in the United States over 100,000 during the month of September. First time that we'd seen over 100,000 homes foreclosed in a single month.
Yeah, can you imagine that? I mean, that's a lot of homes.
It is. It's the number's probably going to drop, though, because as we've been talking about the as we've been discussing, the foreclosure proceedings are now being reviewed by major banks and by attorneys general in about 40 United States, and it might be all 50 by this time. Yeah, yes, that
or
is 57. Correct.
All
57 if you're in Obama land. 50 states have launched a joint investigation of the mortgage industry. Because, again, they'd sort of gotten to where there were so many foreclosures going through the pipeline that they were, engaging robo-signers. Here, don't read the documents, just sign it.
We went through a number of refinances, and each one of those, we did, I think, two or three times, and each time we sat down, don't read that. Here, just sign, initial, and they would tell us what was on the page.
Right.
That could have been anything on those pages.
For the most part, yeah. Yeah, you're right. And then the scary thing is that after those loans were made, the title and the home was the collateral
very quickly
on those
packaged
loans,
up and sold off to somebody
sold
else.
Sold off, right.
And then sold again and again and again.
And probably winds up in the hands of some, teachers union retirement fund in,
Indiana.
Botswana or someplace. Because, a lot of these were sold to overseas investors.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I hadn't thought about that.
And so there are retirement, pension funds in Germany that are paying the price for what the banks here did in the United States. But again, as we said previously, we will probably see TARP 3 come out of this because, as we know, the United States Congress is just so sensitive to the anguished cries of their constituents who oppose a particular piece of legislation or a course of action. Ha!
Well, on the other side of the world, let's get ready to rumble! China and Japan are at it again. And this time it's because China says, Japan, you may not have any of our rare earth items.
Yes, we've got the entire
entire collection
of rare earth albums, and you can't have any. No, this is an interesting little development
here.
This
is a big deal.
And this also relates to the United States. I'm glad you found this story and brought it up. I meant to talk about this about a week and a half ago and then kind of let it slide and forgot about it. But there was a
squirrel.
Yeah, shiny object, and I got distracted. The Japanese arrested and detained a Chinese fisherman who strayed too close to a disputed island in between the two nations. And
Monster Island.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, if you can harness those monsters for defense purposes.
But that's another show.
That's another show. The Chinese were upset by this, and so they cut off Japan's supply of rare earths. Now, rare earths are those elements in the table, periodic table that nobody remembers? Things like neodymium and lanthanum. And
anthanides and lactanides and all that kind of stuff.
Gadolinium.
Mm-hmm.
When I first saw that, I thought, Gadolfini? What? No. Gadolinium and sumerium, americanium. These are things that...
Gilbertonium.
We just invented one. Yes. They're used in advanced industrial products, high-tech things like modern TV screens, hybrid car batteries, lasers, military technology, things like that. And most of the world
has... Most of the stuff made by Japan.
By Japan, but also in the United States, some of these high-tech things. And this is where it relates to the U.S. But yes, Japan is sort of taking the lead in manufacturing these sorts of devices things that use these very rare minerals and elements. It's estimated now that because the rest of the world has given up mining these things, these elements, China may control up to 97% of the world's supply.
China is a huge country, and they have mines just about everywhere.
And mining all kinds of things, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these materials, these rare materials, are found all over the world. But again, because they're found in small quantities in most of the rest of the world, and in most of the Western world, I suspect, I don't know this for a fact, but I would suspect that our environmental regulations and restrictions make it a little more difficult to open up that new, germanarium mine than it is in China. I just made that one up. So China has basically cornered the market on rare earths. And so they cut off Japan. And Japanese companies now are really vulnerable to this sort of supply disruption, because the Japanese sort of pioneered the whole just-in-time delivery concept. You don't stockpile years and years worth of raw materials for your manufacturing processes. You have them delivered, you know, as you need them, and they run right through the plant using a minimum of steps. That's the whole
supply chain
Kaizen thing that we're working on here in the U.S. now.
It is nuts, because it's taken over nearly every corporation here in the United States.
And there are a lot of
Walmart has a 2-day supply in their warehouses, if that.
Right. Now, again, there's some good that comes from this. It does streamline cost. It does streamline and lower the cost of doing business. It does make manufacturing processes more efficient when you're not having to constantly detail guys to find places to store your stockpile of, you know, ytterbium. And so from that standpoint, it's not a bad idea. But when you've only got one supplier supplying all of this stuff, I mean, it usually works better when you've got a multiple sources of supply. Mm-hmm. If China decides it won't sell you, you can go to you know, the United States to get your supply, then that's fine.
And this is where China uses the leverage. China, you're going to have to play fair with your yuan there.
That's right. You're going to have to let your currency float against the dollar. Let the value of it rise and fall naturally in order to balance out the trade imbalances between the two countries. And China says,
oh, no,
yes.
You want gadolinium?
You
good
play ball.
Good luck getting it.
Right. So if the United States, U.S. Congress actually goes forward with legislation that's been proposed to slap tariffs on the Chinese for unfair trade practices, the Chinese could just suddenly decide that they no longer want to sell us any of these rare elements and minerals that we need for high-tech manufacturing.
And we cannot forget that China is playing fast and loose politically with Iran and Russia.
Venezuela.
Yep. Yeah, they are not our friends, and yet we owe them so much money.
And conversely, they really do depend on our currency to keep their economy afloat. Their growing wealth depends on the American consumer continuously spending more money than we earn.
And as their country, yes, and as their country is westernized, the Chinese people are actually victimized by the fact that we depend so much upon China for Walmart and things like that. Because the Chinese people, they think they're getting great jobs working for Walmart, but when in fact they're essentially slaves.
The interesting thing, though, is that the average wage of a Chinese worker, while it's still unnaturally low, has been increasing over the last 10 years. And it is actually driving up the cost of manufacturing in China. So
hello, Indonesia.
Well, Indonesia or you know, even Bangladesh or Sri Lanka. There will be other nations out there willing to contribute.
Does anybody live on Easter Island? I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there are people in other parts of the third world that will likely take the place of the Chinese if the Chinese workers. It's the law of supply and demand. You can't suppress it forever. And the demand for Chinese labor has continuously increased over the last 20 years or thereabouts, which drives up their wages. And so as they become less competitive economically, we're going to start seeing more things showing up in Walmart that say made in Bangladesh.
We shouldn't really be surprised that the economy is going south, and that's a worldwide thing. And we are running, supposedly the recession is over and all is well.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Shovel-ready jobs.
Yeah?
Does Obama even know what those are? But here's the better thing. I told you about this at lunchtime. Joe Biden, who is not one of Obama's favorite people. In fact, according to the Bob Woodward book that is out right now, Obama hates Biden. Joe Biden on the road is saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to be running with him next time. Oh, yeah, we're big buds. He's asked me. I've said yes. Yeah, BFF. Yep, no doubt. Well, the response is essentially laughter. But Walter Mondale, who was VP to President Carter,
right,
has come out and defended Joe Biden
mm-hmm.
by saying, not only is Joe Biden an experienced foreign policy man and a great guy all around, but he also brings ethnicity to the ticket.
Ethnicity.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why not? I guess, you know, being Anglo-Saxon is an ethnic. That's ethnic, isn't it?
Yes. we know you needed a good laugh before the end of
the end of the program,
day.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, wow. That is...
Ethnicity. Well, you know, I figure Hillary Clinton can take that a step further and say, not only am I ethnically white, which is, you know...
Brings ethnicity to the ticket.
Oh, yeah. But I'm also a woman.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. The insiders who say that... there are rumblings. If you read some of the political blogs out of D.C. over the last year or so that say that President Obama is bored with the job. He apparently doesn't actually – he really liked running for president and winning the election, but he doesn't really like the day-to-day stuff.
Well, the guy who is spouting this at various interviews, and I'm sure that he's not the only one, say that Obama prefers to just sit and watch ESPN.
Well, you know, what guy doesn't? But the point is, you ran for the job. You got us to vote for you. Now, look, man up and do it.
Mm-hmm. We're only asking for 4 years of your time. For goodness sake, you're getting paid for this. Do it.
If you don't want to run a second term, that's fine. We're okay with that.
In fact, if you want to leave, you don't have to do the whole 4 years.
That's right.
Why can't we do like Great Britain and, you know, where the
call election.
Just, exactly.
Vote them out. Yeah, vote. Yeah.
Call. Resign.
Well,
and they have to do it.
We'll see what happens. But, yeah, there's some interesting rumblings coming out. They're talking about replacing Joe Biden with Hillary Clinton as a vice presidential candidate in the 12 election. There are some speculations that Hillary may just choose to run against Obama after the, you know.
I think she's going to do that. Well, we'll see what happens. Speaking of politics and the Obamas, apparently Michelle Obama doesn't really understand that you're not supposed to politicize a poll. Location.
Yeah, the elections in Illinois today. Was it
mm-hmm.
today?
Yeah,
she
I think
was
this morning.
Caught on camera actually discussing politics and having a political discussion inside the polling place, which is a violation of law in the state of Illinois, probably in most American states. But in Illinois, within 100 feet of a polling place, you cannot have a political discussion. Now, in Missouri, it was the same thing. We'd go to vote, and mm-hmm. you'd have all these political activists and operatives standing 100 feet away.
Exactly.
You know, like
they'd measure it out.
100 feet and
mm-hmm.
1 inch away and handing out their flyers out there, but no closer. You know, obviously they're going to cut her some slack and let her go. But I thought the comment
why should they? She of all people should know better. She's A, a lawyer, and B, she's the wife
of a career politician. Yeah, she should have known better.
She should have known better.
Right. Well, nothing's going to happen. But,
I know.
Yeah, but there's that entitlement again.
There's that spice.
Yeah, and was she wearing her $600 sneakers to the polling place? That's what. Inquiring minds want to know. We should tell you, by the way, Tom and Nita Horn are back. By the time you hear this, their program may already be off by the
in
time
fact,
we're done.
We're going to try to get done with it because this starts at 8 o'clock and it is now 8:16. We're going to try to call in
and harass them. Yes, Raiders News Live returns to Blog Talk Radio as of tonight. That is Thursday, October 14th. And you'll find them online at blogtalkradio.com. I'm sure they'll have information at RaidersNewsNetwork.com as well. And so we will depart now so that we can listen to the rest of their program. And we'll be back tomorrow, God willing. And until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear, a better day is coming soon.